broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two. And the goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Man, if we got it wrote to hoe, that's for sure in our quest. Right before the end of the last hour, I mentioned this strange story that I want to dig into now. Headline says, Andrew Yang's 2020 campaign for president has purged a racist, far-right podcaster. And this podcaster, I guess, was on its volunteer staff. And they got rid of this guy after an inquiry from Right Wing Watch. The guy's name is Sean McCaffrey. He's a YouTube podcaster, they say little known outside of right-wing circles, but he has been involved in flight, demonstrations from white nationalists such as Richard Spencer and others. And anyway, the bottom line is he was, they condemn this guy and get rid of him in the most, I would say, hateful circumstances. They double down to save their campaign, if you will. Kurt, what do you say to this?
Well, I guess you could say it shows the silliness of the whole thing, where he's going to jettison some supporter. I wish he would have, not that I'm a fan, but I liked how Ron Paul handled it when they said, hey, these prostitutes gave you money, so that means you're pro-prostitution or whatever. And he said, well, I'm not pro-prostitution, but if these people are pro-liberty and freedom and stuff, they can put their money wherever they want. And
now here's what I find interesting. Then they double down and say this. We unequivocally denounce and disavow all forms of hatred, bigotry, and racism, whether it be presented as anti-Semitism, white supremacy, white nationalism, the alt-right, neo-Nazism, Mr. Yang wrote in a statement. Not to mention, we reject fascism or anything else. It has no place in our campaign or in America. Now, here's the interesting thing. Isn't even if this guy's views are something we stand against? Okay, I don't know that I'm against Sean McCaffrey. I don't even know the guy. But here's what I want to bring up. Even if his ideas are repugnant, even if you say, man, the guy's just off his rocker crazy, there's a couple of things in America you need to remember. One, he has his First Amendment rights, and he has the right to his own conscience. If we don't support that, I don't know what America is anymore. Secondarily, isn't it pretty bigoted and racial and hate-filled to say, hey, we don't even know this guy, but we know his ideas are so repugnant that we reject him at every turn? Wow, that isn't very Christian there, James.
Sam, you and Kurt really covered it, and this is the biggest reason why I would entertain a vote for Andrew Yang. For all of his failures as a president, Donald Trump was a candidate that was very inspirational because they pulled this crap with Trump on a daily basis. And yes, sure, he rolled over on yours truly a time or two, although they did defend you, Sam, so I was glad.
Well, hold on, they tried to roll over on me too, and I fought back so hard they changed their tune and defended me. Let's be clear about that.
Well, there's truth there. And they kept beating you guest all the way to Election Day, and then once they got elected, I guess they...
Hey, we had one of their own on the radio with us yesterday. Did you see that?
I'll just go ahead and use the radio broadcast as my own personal phone call. I typically listen to the archives midday. When I'm going to the website today and yesterday, it said I need a plug-in for some. I don't know. I'm getting some error messages, probably on my end. But anyway... it wasn't going on Monday when y'all had the tax show. But to get back to Yang, or rather Trump. They would do this all the time. Now, first of all, you mentioned the guy's name. I don't even remember what you said his name was. It's not a name that I've ever heard of. I don't know what this guy believes, but if...
Hey, don't you racists all know each other? Come on.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But, if
by the way, his name is Sean McCaffrey, just so you know.
Okay, Sean. So I don't know Sean. I haven't heard of his name before. I don't know what his podcast is about. But I can tell you this. I mean, he may be a good guy. He may be a not-so-good guy. I just don't know. But odds are...
However, I defend his right to say and think and believe what he wants, nevertheless, sir.
Well, no, of course. But the point is, I mean, I see how they have treated us, okay? The media over our careers, how I've been labeled, how the network's been labeled, our shows. I mean, I'm not holier than thou. I'm a sinner. I deserve to spend an eternity in hell, but thanks to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, I've got redemption. I'm not better than anybody else. I try to do my best, but at the end of the day, I do try to be a family man. I try to do things the right way. I try to live honorably. I try to be honest. I try to tell the truth in love on the radio. And of course, I get called all sorts of evil names, white supremacists, so on and so forth. That's just the depth to which the modern political discourse has fallen. So that very well may be what's going on with this Sean guy. I don't know, but the fact of the matter is, Trump so very often would just brush him off, and that really, I think, as much as anything he did, his total contempt and disdain for the media during that campaign was what really propelled him to the presidency. He was just not going to play their games. He wasn't going to denounce him. The people who hated him wanted him to denounce. Andrew Yang, though, is the typical embarrassment when it comes to how to respond to the media. Without any sort of look into who this guy is or what he really believes or anything, they just issue the boilerplate denunciation, which always reads the same. It's always the same thing. Well, this has no place in American society. What does? I mean, just because some left-wing blog tells you a guy ain't good, you're just going to take their word for it?
Let me tell you what has no place in American society. The discussion of murdering babies after they're born, talking about creating them, creating comfortable conditions for them while we plot their murder, that has no place in America.
That has no
place. But that's been promoted.
Yeah, you can be for the murder of babies, all right? And you're in with the hip crowd. But you can be somebody like Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, and James Edwards who try to say things that are objectively positive from time to time about white people, and you get called, I mean, you're the most evil thing that you could possibly imagine. Right is wrong. Good is evil. Evil is good. I mean, we live in that day and age now. But yet the Yang thing, totally embarrassing. He's done this several times now, by the way, because I think a lot of the people who used to support Trump, which, of course, the media refers to as Hillary Clinton did, as deplorable, as xenophobes, as white supremacists, as racist. I mean, you pick your
Yeah, you can't help it if you're a deplorable idea.
Well, you pick your horrible adjective, and that's what the media calls the Trump voter. But I have seen a lot of people that voted for Trump that I know are looking at Yang because they say, well, you know what? Conservatism has failed us. Trump is not pushing back anymore. The previously failed Republican presidents like George Bush.
I only have one problem with Yang.
Yeah?
He's a socialist.
Well, I don't want to listen. This is the point. This is the point. This is their point, I would say. Now, I'm not going to even entertain Yang just because of this this embarrassing denunciation. And, you know, I guarantee you he wouldn't have a problem with black nationalists, Chinese nationalists, Jewish nationalists, whatever. But so he's disqualified for me on his face. But, yeah, to get to the other point, people who absolutely despise socialism, who voted for Trump, I know some of them. Now, obviously, this guy's polling in the low single digits, so it's not like he's barnstorming the whole thing. But I know a lot of people who voted for Trump who are looking at this guy because their argument is, okay, look, Trump's not doing anything more than these other fake conservative presidents we've had over the last several decades. And if we're going to go down the road to socialism anyway, and if nobody's going to stand up for us, we might as well get a grand a month. Now, that is their thinking. Now, that's never going to happen, of course. But they're just thinking, you know, I'm wasting my vote voting for the lesser two evils. I might try to just get a grand while I can. That's the whole argument right there. Not that socialism's good. They're just thinking, if the ship's going to go down, I might as well get mine. That's
all right.
What's going on here.
I mentioned a couple of days ago on the radio, I think it was Monday, we had on a, his name was Jonathan, and he is a partner of Stephen Moore. Stephen Moore, as you know, has been lauded by the Donald to be on the Federal Reserve Board, right?
Stephen Moore is actually one of his best guys. One of the few good guys in there.
I agree with that. To make your point, though, sadly, again, Trump and more. And a lot of these guys, they just cannot stand the heat. They melt down. They wimp in the face of reality. So here's what happened. Headline says this. Eight times the Trump Fed pick, Stephen Moore, has endorsed some version of the gold standard. So over eight times, the mainstream liberal press, I can't remember if it's Right Wing Watch or whatever media, you know, okay. But they say, hey, Stephen Moore has backed the gold standard more than eight times publicly. Well, now he gets asked about it because he's going to be on the Fed. So they're like, hey, what do you think of the gold standard? And here's what Moore said. Now that President Trump has picked him for a seat on the Federal Reserve Board, he claims, quote, he's not in favor of a gold standard, has never actually been a gold standard guy. Yeah. Huh. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Well, I sent you a little bit on what the White House had on the quote about Assange, and what I wonder if, well, I know you get lost with me a lot, Sam,
I
mean, it's just what happens.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, when you have a country bumpkin brain like mine. But, you know, in that Assange deal, you know, the first words he said was, I don't know him or whatever, and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff after it. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a whole bunch of other stuff after this quote.
All right,
well.
So Kurt's going to switch to Julian, and he's going to tell us the big, long breakdown of Donald's update on that. The mainstream press is saying, hey, Donald is betraying Assange. Kurt's got the details in a second.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Your call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening here. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about Andrew Moore melting down his gold and silver guy for years, like Alan Greenspan. Before they're in the Fed, they're gold and silver guys, constitutional guys.
It's Stephen Moore, right?
Yeah, Stephen Moore, sir. M-O-O-R-E. I might have said Andrew Moore. It's Stephen Moore.
Okay.
Anyway, the bottom line, though, is this guy melts down, and, you know, I'm disappointed in Stephen, if that's what he really did and said. That's what the mainstream press is saying about it right now. Now, Kurt says, hey, Julian Assange... And then I try to find the story that he gave me, and it's about North Korea. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, what happens is I searched the WhiteHouse.gov website. And,
for Stephen Moore?
In this case, I was searching for the Assange thing to see if I could find the actual, transcript of what they said. Because
Yeah.
It's shocking, Sam. Sometimes the media doesn't report the whole story. I know that you're kind of amazed at that, but here's what the question was. This was issued on April 11th, by the way, and it says, Mr. President, do you still love WikiLeaks? Now, we've been told that all he said was, I know nothing about WikiLeaks, right? But here's what, you know, is from the WhiteHouse.gov, website. It says, I know nothing about WikiLeaks, period. It's not my thing. And I know there is something having to do with Julian Assange. I've been seeing what's happened with Assange, and that will be a determination, I would imagine, mostly by the Attorney General, who's doing an excellent job. So he'll be making a determination. I know nothing really about him. It's not my deal in life. What would you like to see happen? What is it that your Attorney General, this is the question again, he said, I don't really have any opinion. I know the Attorney General will be involved in that, and he'll make a decision, okay? Mr. President, are you pleased with the Attorney General yesterday said that there was spying into your campaign in 2016? And then he goes on to that. He said, yes, I am, etc. But so that's a little bit more than the quote where they said, I know nothing about WikiLeaks, and just leaving it there, you know. I think what he's really saying is, hey, I'm not supposed to take care of that. That's, you know, the Department of Justice. That's the Attorney General. I got a job to do. They got a job to do, et cetera, right?
I don't know. It's hard to say. James, you want to respond to this?
Well, I like what Kurt said. I mean, you've got to have stronger men. And we do not have strong men anymore. You look back, and Stephen Moore is honestly one of the strongest in the Trump administration, okay, if that should tell you anything. And I generally have a favorable opinion on it. But you go back, and again, we're talking about Holy Week. We're going to have a big show, by the way. My pastor is going to be back on the show with me this weekend on TPC, and we're going to share the biblical accounting of the resurrection. But you go back to the people who really defended the faith, who really defended their culture, who really defended their people. You know, some of the great Christian kings of the past, and there were a lot of them. People like Charles Martel, for instance, and John Sobieski, who they repelled the Muslims from Europe and protected their people, protected the faith of Christianity. Now, those were men. I mean, those were leaders. They did not make leaders. Well, I say they don't make leaders like that anymore. They do. There are good men of strong moral fiber out there, and people are fortunate enough to be able to listen to one 6 days a week in Sam Bushman and in Kurt Crosby on this network. But regrettably, in the culture we have today, the best of our men are not allowed to ascend to positions of great authority and power. But the weaklings are, and certainly those who aid and abet the destruction of all things good and decent and righteous are, and that's what we've got.
Well, in general, instead of Donald Trump defending whistleblowers in general, and specifically defending or speaking out about WikiLeaks like he did on the campaign trail, those days are gone. So whether it's as dire as the mainstream press pitches it, or whether it's as sidestepping as the Donald made it at the White House, neither, in my opinion, are very good when it comes to whistleblowers and when it comes to getting the truth out on things. It's the United States. You know, you can say it's the Attorney General. You can say it's all these people. But it's really in the Donald Trump administration that literally forced Julian Assange to be arrested and brought back to the United States. What's going to happen with all that? I don't know.
Okay, this is one thing we're talking about, you know, how it's a shame, and it is, and it should be mentioned, and it should be discussed. It is a shame that Trump has, who benefited so much from Assange's truth-telling and whistleblowing, however you want to define it, would not only just pretend not to know who he is now, but in fact go along with his incarceration. The question is why? I mean, is it just weak-mindedness? I mean, how does Trump benefit from doing this to Assange? I mean, I guess the best, most logical reason was that Trump was just always a player in this whole thing to begin with, and they're all working for the same side. I mean, that would be the most logical thing. But wait, what do you think?
I personally think that Donald is up neck deep in the swamp, and the evil people are surrounding Donald and betraying him at every turn. And I think that he's just got so many betrayals that this is low on the betrayal priority list. And so he's like, hey, I just can't take that on right now. That's my personal opinion. What do you say?
Well, Kurt? You know, what's the media going to call him a bad name if he stands up for Assange? I mean, that's every day if you believe this at face value. And I'm not saying that Trump is a double agent or really in with these guys. He may just be being outmaneuvered. Maybe his instincts are good and he's just being outmaneuvered every single time.
What do you say, Kurt?
I don't see what the problem would be in – and him adding another one to the list at this point because they're attacking him every day, all day, every day anyway. No matter what he does, if he walked on water, if he made everybody in America a billionaire, they'd find some fault with him according to the way the press presents his issues. I really don't know why he. I mean, this is a guy that needs allies. I mean, why roll over on one of your guys? I don't know. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's a great point, James, and the president. You know. It's the old, remember you've heard the old phrase where something like, if you'd walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, then you'd understand them, or in this case, probably have to walk a few thousand miles in somebody else's shoes with the president. You know, all I can tell you is, for example, I saw this one headline from Breitbart with Michelle Bachmann where she said, she called him the most... biblical president of our time. And there's not a whole lot of this is what the phrase was, says Michelle Bachmann praises Trump. I've never seen a more biblical president. And if you really want to look at it, it's difficult to find somebody in our lifetimes that has done more to stand up for like babies and these other things. I mean, I remember doing that news story when we were back there for the inauguration, and some little place out of Tennessee had found out that he and his minions, if you will, had prayed more than any other president before during inauguration times. And I'm thinking, how come that's not a cool story that places like Utah and others don't pick up, But I'm not telling you he's perfect. Neither am I. But every day we go forward and try to do better. And I think the president's made himself a lot more presidential over time. On the other hand, I think he's certainly surrounded, to agree with you, Sam, certainly surrounded by bad guys almost everywhere. I wish we could surround him with more good guys, James and you and Sheriff Mack and so many others. I will say that I'm grateful to have him.
Yeah, and here's the bottom line. I'm not willing to put on the altar the bad things over the name of the good things. In other words, the good that Donald does, I'll give him complete credit for and support him. The bad thing that he does, I'm going to stand up against and call them out for what they are based on principle. That doesn't mean that I don't accept the good or support the good that he does. I'm just not going to ignore the bad on the altar of the good, and I'm not going to call the bad that he does good or acceptable or whatever. The bottom line is, hey, when Donald basically pretends he doesn't know Julian Assange and he allows this extradition and arrest and subsequent... look, Julian Assange's not going to get a fair trial. If anybody should know that, Donald should. So I think Donald needs to stand up, as James said on this, and when Donald doesn't, I'm saying shame on Donald. Now, I don't know the reasons for it. I can't know the reasons for it. The mainstream press acts like he completely turns his back on Donald. And what President Trump kind of does is, I didn't turn my back on him. I just kind of sidestepped it. That's the way I see it. I'm saying he needs to come out boldly, nobly, and independently and say, hey, we support whistleblowers in America in general. And you know what? We're going to do what we can to make sure that Julian Assange gets a fair, honest, open trial. That's been a problem in America. And I'm going to highlight this reality. And that's kind of what I'm talking about with the president. You can still say and do the right things. You don't have to double down in defense of Julian. I don't know all the inside deal of what Julian actually did. All I know is this. He's not going to get a fair trial. Donald hasn't had a fair trial over the last 2 years either. Even though he came out on top, he was barbecued in the court of public opinion over the dishonest media for 2 years. Donald should understand this. All right, so Fed pick Stephen Moore says he's not actually a gold guy. That's concerning. Now, Michelle Bachmann, she's right. We will probably never see a more godly, constitutional, biblical president than Trump if we're not very careful in America. I'll tell you that right now.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A massive hunt continues in Colorado as authorities are looking for an 18-year-old woman said to be obsessed with the 1999 mass shootings at Columbine High School.
She has had an infatuation with Columbine and the perpetrators of Columbine. She's made comments to that effect, but she hasn't identified a specific threat to a specific school.
That's FBI Special Agent Dean Phillips, who says that Saul Pais allegedly flew from Miami to Denver and immediately bought a shotgun and ammo. Schools around Denver are closed today because of the threat. This weekend will be the 20th anniversary of the Columbine Massacre. Donations from around the world are continuing to pour in to rebuild the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. They've crossed the $1 billion mark less than 2 days after a fire devastated the 850-year-old Gothic treasure. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
A 44-year-old man's in custody at a Philadelphia hospital after police claim he intentionally ran over three men and three women with his vehicle after an altercation yesterday afternoon. All of the victims are being treated at a local hospital. One is in critical condition. The one Republican candidate so far challenging President Trump for the 2020 GOP nomination says he believes the incumbent president's beatable. Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld says...
I'm not sure how serious Mr. Trump is about governing, honestly. He has a one-word environmental policy, hoax, a one-word immigration policy, wall. I think sometimes his lack of experience and preparation for the office shows.
Well, speaking there from New Hampshire on CNN a short time ago, he announced his campaign earlier this week. And this is USA Radio News.
So I refuse to ignore the bad things or the good things about someone. I'm going to highlight the truth as I see it. When Donald wants to stand up for the right things, I support him at every turn. When he doesn't stand up like I think he ought to, then I'm going to bring it up. Not that I'm into attacking anybody, but like Stephen Moore. Hey, if he says he's not a gold guy, shame on you, Stephen. You ought to be a gold guy, buddy. And you've actually kind of intimated that you were a gold guy in the past. What happened? Same thing with Alan Greenspan. When you were a gold guy, Alan, good for you. When you reject the constitutional currency of the greatest country on the face of the earth, driving the best economic engine the world's ever known, then I'm going to say shame on you. And if that's not what you said, come on the radio and clarify it. Come on. All right, Michelle Bachmann says, we will never see a more godly biblical president than Trump. Well, I pray she's wrong, but if we continue on the current trajectory, Kurt, she's probably right.
Well, at least the thing I like about what she said is that she's saying that he does promote that kind of stuff.
But now, you hope we have a more godly, more biblical one?
I do wish we'd have more and more and more in the future. But on the other hand, I'm grateful that she's pointing out that he's done a lot of good in that area.
Yeah. All right. Melania's speaking out too, Kurt.
Well, yeah, you know, she gets very little coverage. You know, we've talked about her Be Best campaign and all that kind of stuff. But she and the vice president's wife and were hanging out. They basically were doing some good stuff, and you know, they were at they had a group of 379 children, and you know, they sang to them some nice songs. Not the vice or the president's wife and the vice president's wife, but the children sang to them. And
so the children sang to the vice president's wife and President Trump's wife.
Yeah. And the then she was asked, well, you know, what do you think about the whole thing? And she said, I've not changed for anything. I love what I do. She was affirming that she would serve as first lady again. She said, I think our husbands are doing a fantastic job, and I would support my husband if he would run again. And yes, it's a privilege and a great honor to serve.
Now, this is an absolute contrast. The mainstream press said that, you know, Melania hates Donald. She won't even touch him. She doesn't want anything to do with being first lady. They just went off on that for days and days and days and days. And now her bold statements, you know, do you believe your lying eyes? Do you believe her? You know, what do you believe? And the mainstream press literally caught, in my opinion, on this one big time. She stands up independently from her own mouth and says, hey, I like what I do. I wouldn't change it for anything. I believe in my husband. I believe in the president. I believe in what we're doing. Unequivocal and absolute 180 degrees for the mainstream press, James.
Yeah, I again echo what y'all are saying about Melania Trump. I wanted to say very quickly about the Bachman comment is that, you know, that is, it is true, and that's I guess sort of sad. I don't think Donald Trump is necessarily a paragon of virtue and a pillar of Christian idealism, but I think there is no doubt he has been the most frontline president of my lifetime. I'm 38 years old this summer, but I think it probably is the most biblical that we've had, but certainly not the most biblical that we've had going back throughout our history. But if you're right, Sam, if trajectories don't change, he will be the last one that's as good as he is. So that's gloomy across the board. And I see now here one thing I wanted to make mention of, and this goes into the absurdity of the press as well. This guy, Mayor Pete, they're saying is having a meteoric rise in the Democratic primary. I mean, that's literally the headline. Mayor Pete's meteoric rise. Okay, that's the headline. And then the very first sentence of the article talks about how he just scored his highest polling number to date at 4%. So this is a meteoric rise poll within the margin of error. I think, you know, any of us three could go out there and get 1 or 2%. But this guy's whole thing, his whole campaign basically is just what it would be like to be the first homosexual president. So his sin is his identity. And they're trying to really puff him up.
And his sin not only is his identity, but his rise.
Well, that's right. No, I mean, that's exactly what separates him from the field. That's his shtick, is that, you know, he has this guy that, you know, masquerades around as his husband. And I'm not trying to be mean-spirited about that, but I believe in the God of the Bible, and I don't believe that this is a natural lifestyle that is ordained by God. Now, as a matter of fact, Mayor Pete took issue with Pence, calling Mike Pence a bigot and a supremacist and all of this a few days ago, because Mike Pence is, you know, by all accounts, a traditional Christian. I do believe that Mike Pence is a Christian. I don't think he's as strong as we are on political issues, but I do think he's a sincere Christian. And Mayor Pete was talking, you know, about the bigotry of Mike Pence, that God made him this way. So nothing like a little blasphemy in advance of Holy Week. But I can remember working for Pat Buchanan, and Pat was polling, you know, in 2000 when he was seeking the Reform Party nomination, about the same during the campaign, especially during the early days of the campaign. He was polling around 5%, and everybody was just talking about what a joke it was. So it's a joke when Pat gets 4 or 5% in an early poll, but when Mayor Pete does it, it's a meteoric rise. Oh my goodness, this guy's just so fresh and hip and wonderful. And by the way, he's homosexual, and you know, and he stands with this guy, and you know, they're hugging each other, and he's talking about how great it would be the first homosexual president. You know, so this goes back to what we're talking about with Trump, and even though Trump obviously isn't going to do anything on those cultural issues. I mean, he was never on board with the social issues that a guy like Buchanan was, or a guy like men like we are, would like for him to be. But in any event, that's progress. Going from bad to worse is what they call progress. And I'm sorry, that wasn't directly related to your question, but I thought it all kind of tied in. So.
Any more on this, Kurt?
Just a little more on the Melania Trump thing, just, at least in my opinion, some more good that you'll hardly hear anywhere. The Breitbart piece says, Mrs. Trump acknowledged there was a lot of change involved in becoming First Lady, including moving to a new city and taking on new responsibilities, but I would not change for anything. I love what I do and what I will always shine a light on children and the next generation. She says, I'm here to spread positivity and confidence in being all of you as you make yourselves heard. I have the initiative of Be Best, and I encourage all of you to be best in everything that you do, to challenge yourself, to be true to yourself, to do a positive way in your life. The first and second ladies took questions for about 15 minutes after the kids sang them songs.
And I wish the mainstream press would trumpet the truth for Melania. Right? I'm not here to judge her and undermine her truth and her statements and her beliefs. I'm here to say good for her.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know a lot about her, Kurt. There's not been a lot of coverage. I mean, there's never really a ton of coverage for first ladies, but I think she's had less than most. But by all accounts, she appears to be classy. I mean, she appears to be at least serious about her role as a mother and as a wife, and doesn't get out there and counter-signal her husband, who's obviously very controversial. That's hard for a woman to be in that position. But, based upon what we know, I'd say overall opinion would be fairly positive for her.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. So Michelle and Melania ought to hang out, by the way, huh? All right. Now, in this next story, Congress is right, Donald's wrong. Again, this is where I'm not here to pick anybody apart, but I am here to stand up for principle every time. Headline says this: Donald Trump vetoed a bill passed by Congress to end U.S. military assistance in Saudi Arabia's war in Yemen. So Congress, for once, decided to take back their control of the war powers reality. Go look at your supreme law. And they decided, hey, we want to get out of the war in Yemen. We don't want to back Saudi Arabia. We want to stay out of that thing. Donald vetoed Congress. So when Donald tells you that he wants to get out of all these wars, well, not really. So this resolution, says Donald, is an unnecessary, dangerous attempt to weaken my constitutional authorities, endangering the lives of American citizens and brave service members. Both today and in the future, Trump wrote in his tweet about the veto. So this is where we, even when Congress decides finally to take back their control of their constitutional authority based on the checks and balances, they decide to get out of a war and say, look, we're not going to pick sides. We're going to avoid foreign entanglements, as George Washington would have advised to do. Donald goes against them, Kurt.
Well, there you go, Sam. And, I don't know the whole story, but, when we can get out of unconstitutional wars, I'm for that. And, I will say this about the president, compared to all the other, ones that I've seen mostly in my lifetime, I haven't heard of hardly anybody ever getting out of a war before and bringing the troops
George
home
did.
Like the president has.
George kind of tried to avoid
he
those
talked
foreign entanglements,
didn't he? Oh, George Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I said my lifetime, so that's
yeah.
A little bit out
but,
of
but
my
you're
lifetime.
Right. And Donald, in that case, is a lot better than most, and we got to give credence to that. But we got to teach correct principles. It's Congress's responsibility to decide whether we go to war or not, and whether they fund it or not, not the president's. So let's break down constitutional reality, number one. And then number two, you know what? Why does the president think it's stripping him of his power? It's not his power. If he reads the Constitution, he might know that.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As you guys know, I tried to find pro-life radio commercials and just couldn't find them anywhere. And they had a couple that were odd, you know, lengths and stuff that couldn't really run in a radio format. But for the most part, it was super, super hard to find. And so, as you know, I've been creating my own, right, guys?
Well, and let me tell you, I'm glad none existed, because if they had, we would have had the great ones that you've come up with.
Well, and I don't take credit for them, because it's Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Donald Trump. I mean, it's all these leaders standing for pro-life that I'm highlighting. So I don't really need credit. They deserve the credit. All I'm telling you is we're trying to resurrect their words and make sure that Americans actually get to hear them. Well, I created two more, and I thought I'd play them for you really quick. Here's the first one.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, so there's one of them from Rand Paul. It's quite different than the other ones from Rand. It covers a lot of other important points about a moral people, about the born and the unborn, and that he will not back away, and that he promises us that he will always stand for life. Very, very, very good. Again, I don't deserve any credit. I'm just the redneck in the back room trying to help make sure people know about the great work that people are doing. You don't hear about this stuff. Here's the second one. And believe it or not, Rand Paul has been pro-life for a long time, folks. He was a teenager advocating for pro-life before his church congregation. Did you know that? Listen up.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, so there's my latest two efforts to participate in the solutions, ladies and gentlemen. Just thought I'd share those with you. it's kind of fun to work on this stuff behind the scenes and learn about leaders and learn about, you know, oftentimes you just don't hear what these people are actually doing. Rand Paul's a great case. I didn't know he said those things. Did you, Kurt?
By the way, Sam, I noticed there was some nice music, but it was kind of a weird beat going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's just part of the audio that he's got in his audio there.
I know. It's a heartbeat, basically, is what you're getting there, ladies and gentlemen, which is pretty cool.
Good pick, Kurt.
And but in my opinion...
I thought it was a hoof beat.
Yeah, he thought Rand Paul was marching to the fight.
I thought he was riding on a horse.
No, it's a heartbeat for sure. It's
When it comes to audio, Mr. Sam is an audio wizard.
All I know is I found that stuff. I thought it was just tremendous. Did you know that Rand Paul made those statements, though, Kurt?
You know, it's shocking to me, but the standard media didn't let me know about that, Sam. Uh-huh. I mean, I assume that they're going to let me know all the truth and the facts, but they must have missed that one day, you know.
Well, and it doesn't surprise me that Ron would stand up boldly, nobly, independently for pro-life, but I'm just saying, we got to hear those words. That gives me courage that, you know what, Mike Lee and Rand Paul, two very pro-life senators, President Trump, those three are standing together for pro-life, and we can make a difference, folks. And I really find that refreshing, and I'm grateful for it. All right, Kurt wants to talk about media. He wants to talk about John Carroll University. Kurt?
Well, it's just an example, a little more of in the old days, Sam, if a conservative wanted to say, hey, we don't want that book here in the library, because it's got bad pictures or bad words or whatever, they would say that's book burning, that's censorship, etc. But in this case, you got some lady who's, she's a Catholic, you know, a religious believer, and the headline reads, Breitbart, John Carroll University, I've never been there, I don't even know where it is, it says student newspaper revises guidelines to censor conservative Catholic editor. Little censorship going on there, huh, Sam?
Well, what do you expect? Look, they're going to take your government tax dollars, they're going to steal the money from your wallet, a.k.a. the IRS, and they're going to go ahead and fund these universities to shut down free speech, James.
Yeah, two things. Number one, the Rand Paul clip, I just couldn't help but notice that you've got all of these pro-life PACs that are raking in millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, accumulatively, and yet you can't find one existing PSA that is made for commercial talk radio that's supposed to be on board with the pro-life message. So here we are, as you so often put it, Sam, the Widows Might Network, doing it for nickels in a song, and you're creating stuff like that. Now, yes, you're just taking the statements made by people who are pro-life, but you're putting forth the production work, cutting it for radio use, putting in a little music. It's great stuff, and you do deserve to get some credit for that. But with regard to the other thing, I mean, it's what we say on the on my show so many times. You know, these concepts that come from Western civilization and Christianity, the concepts of fair play and understanding and open-mindedness and not open-mindedness to perversion and degeneracy and sin, but just the sense that we will try to work with one another. Now, those are fundamental concepts that our people share. The enemy does not share that, okay? So they demand that we tolerate whatever it is that they need and want at the time. And because we're generally decent people, we honestly have gone way too far in our tolerance, but we try to go along and get along. But that is never reciprocated. So what you're talking about with the college and what you're talking about with this modern-day book burning, those are our principles. Those are not their principles. They demand that we make good on our principles when it serves them. But when it comes time for reciprocity, it's never going to be extended, and it has never been extended. And the left are the most intolerant, hateful people that you'll ever find. And
it's kind of like the snake bite, and then you complain, and it's like, you knew what I was.
No, that's exactly it. Trump used that a lot during the campaign back when, you know, we still had some hope in him.
Yeah, we should use it again in modern times, I'll tell you that right now. All right. Anyway, the next tidbit, Breitbart launches a new service, Kurt.
Well, in this case, Sam, it's really not new, but they're doing it new, and they're interviewing some students that have been, I guess you could say mistreated. And I thought of your interview, Sam, where you set it up with the guys that were going against David Hogue or Hogg or whatever his name was and things like that. And, in this case, they're talking about some woman that was, accosted or whatever. But I did like this part where she says, we approach everyone with kindness. And, I guess that's how hate works, huh?
Yeah, that's right. What's the headline on that one?
The headline says Breitbart launches radio effort with TPUSA student activists more powered than ever after alleged attacks by leftists. We approach everyone with kindness.
So who's TPUSA, Kurt?
We would have said it was Toilet Paper of the USA, but it's something else. I don't know. I just know that it was a student group, yeah, on a campus.
So here's what I do. I put TPUSA into my clipboard, and I put in TPUSA, and I put in Wiki, and pretty soon I know what I'm talking about. While I'm doing that,
yeah,
Kurt,
well,
tell
see,
you about
that's for you, though, Sam, because you always know what you're talking about. A guy like me, remember, I'm the country bumpkin.
Only if I rely on all kinds of sources.
Yeah.
All right. So while I do that, Kurt's going to tell you about Bill de Blasio, though.
Well, de Blasio is one of your favorite guys, James.
By the way, it stands for Turning Point USA, just so you know.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
It's an American conservative nonprofit organization, and they have a professor watch list in government schools.
Very good. I knew you could straighten me out, Sam. Thank you. De Blasio has now threatened to sue if Trump sends immigrants to sanctuary city, New York City. And I'm thinking, what for, Bill? Won't you have a whole bunch more voters that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, they love him so much. I think it's just more bluster on Trump's part. It's just more talk. I mean, as my co-host says on my program, after all is said and done, more will be said than done. But I think this is a great idea. I mean, they want him so much. They love him so much. They want everybody else to live around it. Let them have it. Let them have their fill of it.
So what do you say about that, Kurt?
Well, I couldn't agree more.
You got conservatives divided on this issue as well, don't you?
Well,
Some conservatives hate it.
I certainly don't want illegal immigrants coming into the country. But if we're forced by some judges that simply sit there and say, oh, no, you have to let those people in, then why not put them in those, places where they call them sanctuary cities? Because, of course, like James says, those people love them. And, in my opinion, those sanctuary cities are just, they're heck holes, to use the phrase that President Trump said, I guess.
Now, my point on the Bill de Blasio thing is this. We mentioned that we don't know all that Donald has to wrestle with. And sometimes it's, very important to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and give Donald a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. And this makes that point. What's he going to do when he just gets sued by everybody, everywhere, all the time? So, illegals are coming into America. We don't know where to put them. So Donald doesn't want them to come to America. Don't come anymore. They attack him. Then Donald says, okay, if you're going to come to America, we'll put them where the people have been asking for you to come. They attack him again, threaten to sue. At some point, you got to defend Donald and say, what is he to do, James?
Well, it's interesting. I don't have any time, but even liberal stalwarts like Bernie Sanders and Cher, who are quick to call Donald a white supremacist xenophobe, even Sanders said this week that we can't have any more poverty, and Cher was saying in Los Angeles we've reached the breaking point. Even these guys are progressively coming around to it. Guys, I love y'all. Happy Easter. All this stuff we talk about is important. It's vitally important, but it's not the most important. The most important thing happened about 2,000 years ago. We'll talk about it on Sunday.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Godspeed. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Final words yours, Kurt.
God bless America, and let's make America and the world great again.
And Easter is coming up, there's no doubt about it, and it is one grateful
it.
Time, a time to be grateful for the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We testify he lives. We testify how vital it is for us to make wise choices and follow him. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.